Savitri, Book 3, The Book of the Divine Mother, Canto 3, The House of the Spirit and the New Creation. This is part 2 of 3 parts of this canto. It's on pages 322 through 329. We've been very smart to travel with the king, the world traveler, King Aswapati, because now we're going to have the experience of the supramental consciousness. We're about 30 pages short of being halfway through the book. The book is 724 pages long. So for almost half of Savitri, we've been given Sri Aurobindo's experiences of his own yoga as he wrote about the yoga of the king. So now we're going to have Sri Aurobindo's own experience of the supermind. And as far as we know, he was the first one ever to fully have this experience, and he gives it to us. In this part of the canto, in the supermind, he's describing Satchitananda, the one indivisible supreme existence, consciousness, and bliss. And he's describing it in practical words and terms with images which we know and use. The only thing is that there's so much of it. Each one of his sentences could be an hour's meditation. So we're going to be in the all-containing one consciousness, the consciousness that is the endless unity of oneness, but in actual practical aspects. Sri Aurobindo has written about the supramental consciousness in many places. In his book, The Life Divine, in the last couple of chapters, he writes about how a person will be when they are a supramental being. And he calls the supramental being a Gnostic being. This is a person who is always conscious of the infinite essence of everything, always conscious, and at the same time has infinite knowledge of the full play, the myriad play of the infinite, which means in all its objects, all its subjects. He says our present mind is too limited to even understand what this really means. The knowledge and the action of these new beings will have the wideness and plasticity of infinite freedom. They experience the integral truth of the whole, along with the complete and inmost truth of the objects and beings of each particular experience. And these are the only so-called laws that bind these new beings, the only boundaries. We have lots of boundaries in our lives, lots of laws, some of them laws of nature, some of them laws imposed by man. But the new being doesn't have any of that. And Sri Aurobindo actually says, it's rather surprising, when he writes this in The Life Divine, he says, therefore, the new beings are so complete in their development, in their consciousness, that they are not bound by the laws of karma. They are no longer shaped, they are no longer governed by their past or by any actions that they've done in the past. Sri Aurobindo is going to tell us all this, and he's going to tell us much more. There is so much in this canto. And he's using the shorthand of mystic poetry. It is the actual experience using words, but not as people usually use words. And at the same time, it is beyond the words and much more than the words. We don't get this consciousness by mental or intellectual analysis. There can't only be the mind. There has to also be the soul. And neither our mind nor our soul are really ready for it. But we can receive it here, somehow through our mind and soul, through Sri Aurobindo's consciousness, which is the book itself, as all books are the consciousness of the writer. This is mystic poetry, and in its mysterious way, it solves the mystery of the supermind for us. One thing that we can't see with the mind is that all the diversity, everything outside, is just as important as all the unity that everything is. So here, we're right at the door into the supramental. We should open the door and go in. It's not the time for analysis. But now that we've come so far with the king, it's a good idea to have a clear overview and explanation. So once we have experienced this most high consciousness, next time, in the third part of this canto, which is a lot shorter so we have more time, we're going to look back. We're going to look back on the road that we've climbed, and we're going to see, because it is really the road that the king has climbed along with us, we're going to see what actually happens to the king when he gets to the mental planes where people start to be changed by reaching that kind of consciousness. And then we'll go on next time to experience the king's final yogic movements to get to the mother. And it's interesting to see that Sri Aurobindo does not talk about her here in the supermind. Now, to really do this thoroughly, we're very fortunate because I've been able to make use of an unpublished book by Richard Hartz of the Ashram Archives. He does all the work of getting Sri Aurobindo's writing readable for the Ashram books, the proofreading, everything. He's able to decipher Sri Aurobindo's writings. And with all his experience of Sri Aurobindo's writings and all his abilities, he then spent a very long time researching and analyzing how Sri Aurobindo wrote Savitri. And in this book, which is called The Composition of Savitri, he gives many examples from other writings of Sri Aurobindo. The book is not for sale. It's never been published. But it is available. Those people who really want to study this kind of thing can get it from the Ashram Archives. So next week, before we finish the last part of this canto, we're going to have a clear picture of the king's progress. Now we're going to return to our friend, the traveler of the worlds. When we left him at the end of Canto 2, he had just experienced the overmind. And this is the plane of consciousness just below the supermind. And then he again became the unborn self that never dies, as he does go back into the self of each plane, as one must experience the self, the final source of each plane. So now he's there, waiting. Nothing is happening. A universal force is silently waiting for the ultimate decree of the transcendent. And suddenly, the living oneness of the supramental consciousness opens into the king, and this living oneness widens at its core to join him to unnumbered multitudes. A bliss, a light, a power, a flame-white love embraces the king, and he becomes the self and space of each one of the multitude as they are the self and space of each other. The king experiences a new and marvelous creation in the single heart of the spirit that is all. There is a great outflowing. Each is joined to the all by spiritual links, and each recognizes the whole universe in himself or herself. Bliss was the pure, undying truth of things. in that new creation. And in these new worlds, the king becomes a portion of the universal gaze, a station of the all-inhabiting light, a ripple on a single sea of peace. He sees the other planes of consciousness which are connected with the new worlds. Each one is joined to each one. They are all completely different, and yet they all cooperate and give freely to each other. There in the supramental world, there is harmony woven between soul and soul. Matter itself, dense matter, is only a density of the pure conscious spirit. Physical material substance is the resonant harp of self. Its solidity is really a mass of heavenly make. Bodies are woven by a divine sense which prolongs the nearness of soul's clasp with soul. And finally, after the king has followed life from the time she was lost and deformed at the very beginning, at the time when she heard the call of the spirit and plunged into inconscient matter, finally, life is now complete and full. Life's rapture, all the negative is gone. Life's rapture can now keep its flame and cry forever. All that is only passing here in our lives lives immortal there in the supermind. It lives in the proud beauty and fine harmony of matter which is plastic to spiritual light. Now we're here, in the house of the spirit and the new creation. The king is the unborn self, the universal forces waiting. Then suddenly there came a downward look, as if a sea exploring its own depths, a living oneness widened at its core and joined him to unnumbered multitudes. A bliss, a light, a power, a flame-white love caught all into a soul-immense embrace. Existence found its truth on oneness breast, and each became the self and space of all. The great world rhythms were heartbeats of one soul. To feel was a flame discovery of God. All mind was a single harp of many strings. All life, a song of many meeting lives. For worlds were many, but the self was one. This knowledge now was made a cosmos seed. This seed was cased in the safety of the light. It needed not a sheath of ignorance. Then, from the trance of that tremendous clasp, and from the throbbings of that single heart, and from the naked spirit's victory, a new and marvelous creation rose. Incalculable outflowing infinitudes, laughing out in unmeasured happiness, lived their innumerable unity. Worlds where the being is unbound and wide, bodied unthinkably, the egoless self. Rapture of beatific energies joined time to the timeless, poles of a single joy. White vasts were seen, where all is wrapped in all. There were no contraries, no sundered parts. All, by spiritual links, were joined to all, and each bound indissolubly to the One. Each was unique, but took all lives as his own, and, following out these tones of the infinite, recognized in himself the universe. A splendid center of infinity's whirl pushed to its zenith's height, its last expanse, felt the divinity of its own self-bliss repeated in its numberless other selves. It took up tirelessly into its scope persons and figures of the impersonal, as if prolonging in a ceaseless count, in a rapturous multiplication sum, the recurring decimals of eternity. None was apart. None lived for himself alone. Each lived for God in him and God in all. Each soulness inexpressibly held the whole. There, oneness was not tied to monotone. It showed a thousand aspects of itself. Its calm, immutable stability upbore on a changeless ground, forever safe, compelled to a spontaneous servitude, the ever-changing, incalculable steps, the seeming reckless dances, subtle plan of immense world forces in their perfect play. Appearance looked back to its hidden truth and made of difference oneness smiling play. It made all persons fractions of the unique, yet all were beings secret integers. All struggle was turned to a sweet strife of love in the harmonized circle of a sure embrace. Identity's reconciling happiness gave a rich security to difference. On a meeting line of hazardous extremes, the game of games was played to its breaking point, where, through self-finding, by divine self-loss, there leaps out unity's supreme delight, whose blissful undivided sweetness feels a communality of the absolute. There was no sob of suffering anywhere. Experience ran from point to point of joy. Bliss was the pure undying truth of things. All nature was a conscious front of God. A wisdom worked in all, self-moved, self-sure, a plenitude of illimitable light, an authenticity of intuitive truth, a glory and passion of creative force. Infallible, leaping from eternity, the moment's thought inspired the passing act. A word, a laughter, sprang from silence breast. A rhythm of beauty in the calm of space. A knowledge in the fathomless heart of time. All turned to all, without reserve's recoil. A single ecstasy, without a break. Love was a close and thrilled identity in the throbbing heart of all that luminous life. A universal vision that unites, a sympathy of nerve replying to nerve, hearing that listens to thought's inner sound and follows the rhythmic meanings of the heart, a touch that needs not hands to feel, to clasp, were there the native means of consciousness and heightened the intimacy of soul with soul. A grand orchestra of spiritual powers, a diapason of soul interchange, harmonized a oneness deep, immeasurable. In these new worlds projected, he became a portion of the universal gaze, a station of the all-inhabiting light, a ripple on a single sea of peace, His mind answered to countless communing minds. His words were syllables of the cosmos speech. His life, a field of the vast cosmic stir. He felt the footsteps of a million wills moving in unison to a single goal. A stream, ever newborn, that never dies, caught in its thousandfold current's ravishing flow, with eddies of immortal sweetness thrilled, he bore, coiling through his members as they passed, calm movements of interminable delight, the bliss of a myriad myriads who are one. In this vast outbreak of perfection's law, imposing its fixity on the flux of things, he saw a hierarchy of lucent planes and fiaft to this highest kingdom of God's state. Attuning to one truth, their own right rule, each housed the gladness of a bright degree, alone in beauty, perfect in self-kind, an image cast by one deep truth's absolute, married to all, in happy difference. Each gave its powers to help its neighbor's parts, but suffered no diminution by the gift. Profiteers of a mystic interchange, they grew by what they took and what they gave. All others they felt as their own complements, one in the might and joy of multitude. Even in the poise where oneness draws apart to feel the rapture of its separate selves, the soul, in its solitude, yearned towards the all, and the many turned to look back at the one. An all-revealing, all-creating bliss, seeking for forms to manifest truths divine, aligned in their significant mystery, the gleams of the symbols of the ineffable blazoned like hues upon a colorless air, on the white purity of the witness soul. These hues were the very prism of the Supreme, his beauty, power, delight, creation's cause. A vast truth consciousness took up these signs to pass them on to some divine child heart that looked on them with laughter and delight, and joyed in these transcendent images, living and real as the truths they house. The spirit's white neutrality became a playground of miracles, a rendezvous for the secret powers of a mystic timelessness. It made a space, a marvel house of God. It poured through time its works of ageless might, unveiled, seen as alluring rapturous face, the wonder and beauty of its love and force. The eternal goddess moved in her cosmic house, sporting with God, as a mother with her child. To him, the universe was her bosom of love. His toys were the immortal verities. All here self-lost had there its divine place. The powers that here betray our hearts and err were there sovereign in truth, perfect in joy, masters in a creation without flaw, possessors of their own infinitude. There, mind, a splendid sun of vision's rays, shaped substance by the glory of its thoughts, and moved amidst the grandeur of its dreams. Imagination's great ensorcelling rod summoned the unknown and gave to it a home, outspread luxuriantly in golden air, truth's iris-colored wings of fantasy, or sang to the intuitive heart of joy, wonder's dream notes that bring the real close. Its power then makes the unknowable near and true. In the temple of the ideal, shrined the one. It peopled thought and mind and happy sense, filled with bright aspects of the might of God and living persons of the One Supreme, the speech that voices the ineffable, the ray revealing unseen presences, the virgin forms through which the formless shines, the word that ushers divine experience, and the ideas that crowd the infinite. There was no gulf between the thought and fact. Ever they replied like bird to calling bird. The will obeyed the thought, the act, the will. There was a harmony woven twixt soul and soul. A marriage with eternity divinized time. There, life pursued, unwearied of her sport, joy in her heart, and laughter on her lips, the bright adventure of God's game of chance. In her ingenious ardor of caprice, in her transfiguring mirth, she mapped on time a fascinating puzzle of events, lured at each turn by new vicissitudes to self-discovery that could never cease. Ever she framed stark bonds for the will to break, brought new creations for the thought's surprise, and passionate ventures for the heart to dare, where truth recurred with an unexpected face, or else repeated old familiar joy, like the return of a delightful rhyme. At hide and seek on a mother wisdom's breast, an artist teeming with her world idea, she never could exhaust its numberless thoughts and vast adventure into thinking shapes and trial and lure of a new living's dreams. Untired of sameness and untired of change, endlessly she unrolled her moving act, a mystery drama of divine delight, a living poem of world ecstasy, a kakemono of significant forms, a coiled perspective of developing scenes, a brilliant chase of self-revealing shapes, an ardent hunt of soul looking for soul, a seeking and a finding as of God's. There, matter is the spirit's firm density, an artistry of glad outwardness of self, a treasure house of lasting images, where sense can build a world of pure delight, the home of a perpetual happiness. It lodged the hours as in a pleasant inn. The senses there were outlets of the soul. Even the youngest child thought of the mind incarnated some touch of highest things. There, substance was a resonant harp of self, a net for the constant lightnings of the spirit, a magnet power of love's intensity, whose yearning throb and adoration's cry drew God's approaches close, sweet, wonderful. Its solidity was a mass of heavenly make. Its fixity and sweet permanence of charm, made a bright pedestal for felicity. Its bodies, woven by a divine sense, prolonged the nearness of soul's clasp with soul. Its warm play of external sight and touch reflected the glow and thrill of the heart's joy, mind's climbing brilliant thoughts, the spirit's bliss. Life's rapture kept forever its flame and cry. All that now passes lived immortal there, in the proud beauty and fine harmony of matter plastic to spiritual light. Its ordered hours proclaimed the eternal law. Vision reposed on a safety of deathless forms. Time was eternity's transparent robe. An architect, hewing out self's living rock, phenomenon built reality's summer house on the beaches of the sea of infinity.